God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things.
Thank you, friends, for being with us on your Watchman on the Wall broadcast of Southwest Radio Church. We are including a free 15-minute DVD titled The Prophets of Wuhan. It is from my weekly show, From the Front Lines. Despite the coronavirus, the Lord's work is continuing in Wuhan, China. We are including the DVD along with items that you have ordered from us. We have a limited supply of these, so they will be included in orders as long as the supply lasts. However, if you've not ordered anything but would like this free DVD, just call our toll-free number, 1-800-652-1144. You can watch From the Front Lines on our Facebook page or on our YouTube channel. One of the major premises of communism is that all religion must be overthrown because religion inhibits the spirit of world revolution. Marx, Engels, and their later followers felt that the deep spiritual convictions of people hinder their acceptance of communist philosophy, and they are right. I'm not a communist because of my religious faith. It is wrong. Marx and Engels and their later followers felt that religion is bad because it keeps people from lying and stealing and killing when communist leaders command it. One of their writers said this, and I quote him, "Religion does not fit into a dialectical materialist system of thought. Religion is the enemy of it. One cannot be a thorough materialist, that is, a dialectical materialist, and have any remnants of religious beliefs." Close quotes. So the founders of communism were not satisfied to have their disciples merely ignore religion. They felt it was highly essential that all religion be systematically replaced with a militant atheism. In a 1946 publication titled The Young Bolshevik, we read, quote, "If a communist youth believes in God and goes to church, he fails to fulfill his duties. This means that he has not yet rid himself of a religious superstition and has not yet become a fully conscious person," close quotes. And that really tells us what's going on. What I've just shared with you leads into our second interview with Curtis Bowers. Remember, discernment is imperative. It is a terrible and awesome thing when a man sets out to create all other men in his own image. Such became the goal and all-consuming ambition of Karl Marx. Not that he would have made each man equal to himself. In fact, it was quite to the contrary. The image he hoped to construct was a great human colossus with Karl Marx as the brain and builder and all other men serving him as the ears and eyes, feet and hands, mouth and belly. In other words, Marx surveyed the world and dreamed of the day when the whole body of humanity could be forced into a gigantic social image which conformed completely to Marx's dream of a perfect communist society. So let's pick up with Curtis Bowers and follow closely. We're back with Curtis Bowers. He has produced the Twin Pack award-winning Agenda series. You know, friends, many today think that our country is terribly divided. Well, I'm glad it is. It's about time that Americans, at least some of us, have come to see that our country is being hijacked. We don't like it, and we are fighting back. Praise the Lord. You know, a couple of years ago, I was pastoring a church in rural Tennessee in September of 1993, that's 27 years ago, when something outrageous happened at the Hamilton Square Baptist Church in San Francisco. An angry, totally out-of-control group of homosexuals and lesbians vandalized church property, assaulted church members, terrorized church congregants, screamed profanity, threw rocks, harassed and scared kids, and disrupted a church service. And so when the rioters saw church children standing in the lobby, they shouted, "We want your children! Give us your children!" And guess what? The San Francisco Police Department did absolutely nothing. I couldn't believe it. I was utterly shocked. That was 27 years ago. That's why our country is divided. Some people are waking up. And you know, it's no mystery why President Donald Trump is so popular. There's an agenda to take America down from within. And some of us are aware of that fact. Once again, let me introduce our guest, Curtis Bowers. Curtis, thank you for being on the show, and God bless you for the wonderful work you're doing. I really enjoyed the previous program, and I know you're going to say some really shocking and things that will wake us up in this program. So thank you, brother.
Oh, so glad to be back.
Well, there's a couple of places or direction we want to go. Continue talking to us about the communist goals from 1958. That's what you're talking about in the previous program. And then you've got an amazing short letter. So maybe you can take us to the goals and to the letter.
Yes, that'd be great. Well, these goals, in case you didn't hear the last show, they were a list of goals that were compiled in 1958 by FBI agents. And they were gathered by agents that had gone undercover into different communist cells back then in the 30s, 40s, and 50s. And they came up with this list, Cleon Skousen did, of these are the 45 main things they're talking about on how they want to take us down from within. So, and the reason it's important to understand these and know these is so many times we think what's happened to America is just is an accident. It's like, oh, America's falling apart. Isn't that too bad? That's what I had thought for some of my life until I started to realize, no, no, no. America has been declining my entire life because it is under assault by people and groups that hate this country. It's a purposeful change that has taken place. It's not an accident. And you need to understand that so you will actively stand against these people that are trying to finish us off from within. And we've gone through some of the different goals here, and you guys can listen to the last episode of this show. But here's a couple other ones we didn't mention. And I want to mention these because it shows how specific and purposeful and premeditated they are to understand what makes a successful culture and country. And it's all such biblical things, and it's so many things we don't get ourselves. But one of the areas they knew was important to assault was art. Now, any of you that were alive in the 70s, that's when you noticed, and I noticed, and everyone in the country noticed, wow, all the new art pieces that were going up in cities and towns, they're these weird, twisted metal. They're, instead of beautiful sculptures of a mother reading a book to her children or a man, you know, standing there bravely or whatever, it's just twisted metal. And we're supposed to sit there and look at it and go, wow, isn't that neat? And I was just in Washington, D.C. recently. And you, outside the art museums, they have the most magnificent art ever from hundreds of years ago in them. All the new art is these just twisted beams of metal, and they're just, you know, we're supposed to sit there and be in awe of those. Well, that's not an accident. That has happened. Here's what they said. Goal number 22, continue discrediting American culture by degrading all forms of artistic expression. Eliminate all good sculpture from parks and buildings. Substitute shapeless, awkward, meaningless forms. I mean, can you believe that? They knew, listen, if we destroy their ability to know what is beautiful and what is not, it will start rotting the culture. When these kids grow up thinking twisted metal is magnificent, and then David, that was my Michelangelo, that was carved out of stone, oh, whatever, they knew it would start perverting the mind where you don't have a standard of excellence. You don't have a standard of truth. Goal number 23, control art critics and directors of museums. And then quote from one of the meetings they listened, they said this, our plan is to promote ugliness, repulsive, meaningless art. Again, they just wanted to destroy our ability to enjoy beauty, to define beauty, to, and I mean, if you can say something that is twisted and ugly is, oh, that's magnificent, you then, the culture is starting to be perverted in a way it doesn't know what beauty is. Well, if you don't know what beauty is, then you know what ugliness is. And if you don't, I mean, you start to lose all standards. But that's how specific they were. You'd think they'd just be teach against America and teach against it. They're like, no, no, we're going to destroy every facet of their culture so they will collapse from within.
Wow, it's so wicked. It's just unbelievable. And I think of the little boys and girls I know now. You know, at one time a 4- and 5-year-old was kind of sweet and innocent. but it's like they want to destroy innocence and just introduce this crazy sex ed, and it's so bad I can't even mention it on the air, and then the ugliness of the art. And I'm not surprised that kids are doing crazy things, you know, this transgenderism, mutilating their bodies, and their parents are encouraging, kids going to the local library Saturday morning drag queen reading. It's all crazy.
Yep. No, it's unthinkable that a people are actively and strategically working to destroy their own children. I mean, it's unheard of. People don't do that. But these people, again, 60 years ago, they're talking about how they're going to get us to do this, how they're going to get us to flip it all around where black is white and white is black and we don't have a clue. But we've seen it unfold, and it has happened. Just on that point you just made, that this is an important story I tell when I speak all over the country. I mean, it ties into one of the goals we mentioned last week, but eliminate all laws governing obscenity by calling them censorship and a violation of free speech and free press. It's what you were just talking about. We used to defend and protect the innocence of youth at all cost. I mean, any child, I remember walking through my neighborhood in the early 70s, I knew if I did anything that wasn't right, it didn't matter what family saw me, they were going to march me down to my father and say, he said this, or he did this, or there was a count, because they loved me. Those neighbors loved me. They were like, we're not going to let that little boy talk like that or do this, because we love him. And here's for people, I know all of you know how far we've drifted, kind of, but you've drifted too, so you don't realize it. I'm going to tell you a quick story. 1973, Tampa, Florida, that's where I was raised. I was 8 years old. I went to the store with my mother, Ma's brothers in Tampa, Florida. This story says so much about how we've changed in a major way. She was going to buy some feminine things. And of course, back then, a little boy would never have walked into the ladies' section of a clothing store. You might see something you shouldn't see. And so she had me wait outside on the sidewalk. I'm standing on the sidewalk waiting for her. She goes in the store. And on the other side of the doorway, there was a rough-looking man. I still can remember what he looked like perfectly because it was unusual. He was tattooed head to toe, long hair, stuff that just was not, tattoos and stuff were not normal back then. And he just was rough. And he was talking to another guy, and I'm standing there. Remember, I was a little scared just waiting for her. And while he was talking to the gentleman, he used the word hell. And a lot of people today would go, so? Well, this is how much America has changed. After a couple minutes, he kind of noticed I was there, I remember, and he came and walked over to me and bent down where his face was right in my face, and I still picture it perfectly because I was scared to death. I didn't know what he was going to do or say. And he bent down to me, and this is what this rough, degenerate, this is what he said in 1973 to me. He said, son, I'm so sorry for saying that. I didn't see you standing there. He knew you don't use a profanity in front of a child. And that's how much we have changed. A culture back then demanded, even a guy like that, that of course talked like that, but he knew you don't talk in front of a lady or in front of children like that. And that's what's amazing. I mean, people don't realize, we all know we've changed, but it has changed so much. Every lost man back then tried to, in public at least, adhere to biblical principles because he would have been ashamed of himself if he was not doing that. And now it's the opposite, like you said. Now it's the drag queens coming out. And how could a parent be so evil as to not take their kids to see the drag queen? This is so cool and fun. I mean, we flipped it exactly opposite. But here's a couple more Christian ones that are so important. Goal number 27, infiltrate the churches and replace revealed religion with social religion. Discredit the Bible. I mean, of anything. They knew the church was the pillar and ground of the truth, even though we don't seem to get it. And they knew we have got to turn those things into do-gooder organizations, and where they're getting off the Bible issues and just on to doing good things, because we know if we can get them like that, we'll be able to use them and emotionally manipulate them to start pushing our ideas. And boy, has that happened. And then goal 28, again, this is before, finally, I think it was in 62 or 63, that the prayer was taken out of our school. So these goals were before that. But here's goal 28. Eliminate prayer or any phase of religious expression in the schools on the ground that it violates the principles of the separation of church and state. That's before the Supreme Court said, oh, this violates the separation of church and state. They literally, our Supreme Court read right from the communist apparatus here of what, how to discredit that and remove it from the schools. I mean, that's what they said, but this was written years before they said that. It's just amazing to me. But again, they knew you can't have God in the schools. You have to have government in the schools. If we want these children to be soldiers for the bright communist future we want, they have to have allegiance to us and not God. And so that's why God had to go, always has to go. That's why he's been rejected out of every part of our culture. He is not welcome. How dare you even show your face in here? And that's what's happening.
Well, they certainly want to detach our culture from any moral anchors. And so I think somewhere in the film you say, or someone says, we've moved from Norman Rockwell's America to Hugh Hefner's America. And even Hugh Hefner is kind of tame compared to what's going on now.
I know. And here's for people listening, just so you know, because you probably ask yourself sometime, how far can it go? It's endless. When you are in rebellion against God, there is no limit to the depravity, to the confusion, to the just the destruction you'll bring upon yourself. And so, yeah, we haven't seen anything yet. We've got 63 genders now. We've got so much confusion in every part of our culture, and it's destroying our children. But that's why those of us that know the truth, and you have a Bible, and you know what's right, we need to be raising our children and grandchildren to stand for the truth. Our lights are going to get brighter and brighter as things get darker and darker. And there will be a huge percentage of people that have been used for this progress to happen, but they'll have found out it is empty, it's dead end, it's bankrupt, there's nothing here. And so if we are a light, maybe the way our kids look, I have 9 children, I homeschool them, and I'm still working on 1,000 things with them. But wherever we go, people just turn and go, your kids are so different. I say, good, we're trying to do it God's way, and I'm glad you noticed there's some difference in doing it his way. And there is. So the positive is our testimonies, our sharing the gospel, all those things won't be accepted in our culture, but it will be individually by people that are hurting so bad because they bought into these lies and they destroyed their own lives, and they'll be looking for answers, and we'll be the ones that are say, I got some good news for you, and we can share the gospel with them. But here's something that you mentioned, and I'm going to read this now because it's so important. Those listening, and I hope all of you know Jesus Christ, but you analyze your life and see if you are committed to the truth like this communist. I'm getting ready to read this letter. It was a young college student that went down to Mexico on a college trip. He became a communist, and this is a letter he wrote back to his fiancée telling her why he could not marry her now because he'd found a new love. And when you hear his commitment to communism, it made me ashamed of myself. I said, I've got the truth, and I don't think I'm as committed as this guy is to a lie. And anyway, just listen to this. He said, we communists have a philosophy of life which no amount of money could buy. We have a cause to fight for, a definitive purpose in life. We subordinate our petty personal selves into a great movement of humanity. And if our personal lives seem hard, our egos appear to suffer through subordination to the party, then we are adequately compensated by the thought that each of us, in his small way, is contributing to something new and true and better for mankind, the struggle for world communism. There is one thing in which I am dead earnest, and that is the communist cause. It is my life, my business, my religion, my hobby, my sweetheart, my wife and mistress, my bread and meat. I work at it in the daytime, and I dream of it at night. Its hold on me grows, not lessens, as time goes on. Therefore, I cannot carry on a friendship, a love affair, or even a conversation without relating to this force which both drives and guides my life. I evaluate people, books, ideas, and actions according to how they affect the communist cause and by their attitudes toward it. I've already been in jail because of my ideas, and if necessary, I'm ready to go before a firing squad.
Tremendous. Well, Curtis, it's been great having you on our program. Thank you so much. We are out of time for the show, but thank you, brother.
You are welcome. Thanks for having me on. God bless what you're doing.
Our announcer, Matthew, will come to the mic and tell you how to get the Agenda film series. This is material that you will want to share with your friends and neighbors. Our people need to know about what's really happening. So, Matthew, come to the mic, please.
Thank you, Pastor Larry. Our special offer today is the thrilling new DVD titled Agenda, Grinding America Down. The second part of this two-DVD set is titled Agenda 2, Masters of Deceit. You can have your own set for a gift of $35 if you live in the United States and $55 if you live in Canada. To place your order, just call our toll-free number 1-800-652-1144. You can also write and place your order by writing to Southwest Radio Ministries, Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And of course, you can order this fascinating DVD on our website at swrc.com. Here again is Pastor Larry.
According to the Oregonian, a newspaper based in Portland, the Super Bowl halftime show this year was rated the second best ever. The halftime show this year featured Jennifer Lopez and a singer-dancer named Shakira. The number one rated halftime show was in 2007, and it featured Prince. Did you happen to watch the Super Bowl halftime show, Pastor Larry?
Well, actually I didn't, but I'm reading what Franklin Graham thought about it, and I really love the guy because I think he's absolutely right. Franklin Graham lashed out at the Super Bowl halftime, and he said it was demeaning to women. And when I kind of looked at it, you know, I went back and got some video stuff. I agree. The event featured singers Jennifer Lopez and Shakira wearing revealing costumes and Lopez pole dancing. We did a report on pole dancing the other day. I never knew what pole dancing was. But anyhow, here's what Franklin Graham said. He said, I don't expect the world to act like the church, but our country has had a sense of moral decency on primetime television in order to protect children. Graham said, we see that disappearing before our eyes. It was demonstrated tonight in the Pepsi Super Bowl halftime show with millions of children watching. And you know that, so, you know, Marvin, it seems like our culture wants to destroy innocence. It's wonderful when you look at a little boy or girl 4 or 5 years of age and they're innocent. I don't feel like I've got a corrupt innocence. It's beautiful. I mean, it reminds me of what life is supposed to be like. And yet there are some people who want to just remove all of that. I think it's a terrible thing. I really commend Franklin Graham.
Talking about stealing some little kids' innocence, how about those drag queens in public libraries telling stories to them? Just insane. The parents are insane for taking their kids to them. But back to the halftime show. Women know men are, what shall I say?
Aroused and inflamed? Is that what you're thinking about?
Yes, thank you. Men are by what they see. So in this day of the Me Too movement where men are held to a higher standard than they used to be, so much more so that some men are afraid to tell a woman they look nice because they may be accused of something else. The New York Times reports that 201 powerful men were brought down by the Me Too movement. Now, don't get me wrong, I know there are lots of sexual harassment problems out there, but even some women complained that it was too sexy.
I really don't understand that. You're absolutely right. You know, Oklahoma City is supposed to be pretty conservative, and you could go to the mall and walk down the street and you'll get an eyeful. I mean, you know, I'm 78 years of age, but my heart sometimes rapid beats. What's going on? Lord, have mercy on me, you know? And this is so horrible. Well, actually, some ladies wrote and supported Franklin Graham. Here's one. I won't mention her name. She says, I'm embarrassed for my kids to watch this halftime show. What awful stuff. Stripper poles, crotch, and rear end shots, no dignity. Then another one says, the Super Bowl halftime show was just a bad strip show. We have had so much positive discussion about not treating women like sexual objects. That's exactly what you were saying. And there they go and do this. You can't cry that women need to be treated better than support this display of sexual objectification of women. I agree with her. And I think, you know, it's unbelievable. We need to get back to modesty. And I know you can go overboard on that, but I don't think there's any danger today that we're going to go overboard on modesty. Well, Marvin, according to a Lifeway Research survey of mainline evangelical and Pentecostal pastors, 47% of mainline pastors support same-sex marriage, only 8% of evangelical pastors do, and only 1% of Pentecostal pastors support it.
Scott McConnell, executive director of Lifeway Research, stated, "The movement we see among pastors' views of same-sex marriage has less to do with their denominational tradition than their view of the Bible," close quotes. It would appear that those who hold most faithfully to the authority of Scripture will be the least inclined to change their views on homosexuality. To put it another way, those who believe the Bible to be God's inspired, unchanging word will be the least likely to compromise their convictions based on societal changes.
Well, Dr. Michael Brown, who is a Pentecostal scholar, radio host, and author, believes that because the Bible is unambiguous in its condemnation of homosexual unions, those who have a high view of Scripture and are more likely to embrace all of it, including speaking in tongues and the abiding validity of all the spiritual gifts, will not endorse same-sex unions of any kind. He says, quote, and I think he's right, "Ironically, it is the Pentecostals, who are often derided for their belief that the Spirit continues to speak today, who are the most conservative of all, with only 1% of their pastors affirming same-sex marriage," close quote.
Thank you, Pastor Larry. Our special offer today is the thrilling new DVD titled Agenda, Grinding America Down. The second part of this 2-DVD set is titled Agenda 2, Masters of Deceit. You can have your own set for a gift of $35 if you live in the United States and $55 if you live in Canada. To place your order, just call our toll-free number 1-800-652-1144. You can also write and place your order by writing to Southwest Radio Ministries, Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And of course, you can order this fascinating DVD on our website at swrc.com. Thanks for being with us today. Tune in tomorrow when Pastor Larry talks with James Yeager on the Watchman on the Wall program from Southwest Radio Ministries.